We're talking to Nils Lofgren, by the way, and the E Street Band is what he was just referencing. What do they actually give you when you go into the Hall of Fame? Is it a plaque, a ring, or
another hilarious story? We get this statue, right?
The little black statue.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, me and Amy, I'm like, oh, okay, and we got to get it home safe. And Amy, we're on the airplane, right? And we hand carry it on, and Amy turns to me and say, Nils, the damn statue is chipping already. The paint is flaking off my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame statue on the flight home from Brooklyn.
Oh, your hands are a little acidic, just, are they, Nils?
Yeah, it just kind of, yeah, right. Let's blame my hands, right?
Yeah, right. I think it's that they didn't use Benjamin Moore as
probably doesn't take away from the honor, but it is another hilarious thing about the bureaucracy in rock and roll. Hey, why don't you cover it with something that lasts a few days, you know?
Well, they probably think, there's like 10 guys in the band. Let's get the cheap paint.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's sitting somewhere in my house, and now it's a good story because people see it, and there's like paint chipping off, and it's a good little bit.
All right, you did the Super Bowl also with the E Street Band a few years back. I can't remember which year it was, but and I've always wondered.
That was the one where, by the way, where Bruce did the slide, and his junk was front and center for everybody in America.
And he almost went over the end because it was so damn wet. It was pouring rain all day. But anyway, look, I'm a huge football fan. I did 9 years of original rock for John Madden's All Madden's teams.
Sure.
In fact, at my website, nilslofgren.com, there's a Tough Stuff, Best of the All Madden Team Band.
Nice.
And John Madden put some of his expressions, you know, boom, now that's a football hit, you know. Speed kills, and just stuff like that. It was very kind, and it was fun to work with John because they'd send me all the raw footage, and I'd get to just put on the DVR and sit there with my guitar and jam and come up with licks and write instrumentals for the All Madden teams. But yes, that was, I think, John Madden's last Super Bowl, and to go and play with Bruce, it was a beautiful thing, and I got to say, I really lost it because we were about to go on at halftime, and at this point, I've been here 19 years, so I was a big Cardinals fan, and I'm thinking, well, we're going to be up at least three more points, and then that 99-yard run, and I'm sitting there, I'm so freaked out and devastated, people are hitting me like, Nils, you're going on, I'm going, on what? I'm sitting there, the fan, completely miserable. I forgot we were playing at halftime.
It was James Harrison, I think.
Yeah, that back, interception right there, the two-yard line.
It
yeah.
was so brutal. And then on the van back, because we were staying an hour from town to get out of the mess, I'm watching on the radio, and then, you know, Fitzgerald takes us in the lead.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, please, please. And then that damn last play, oh, God. I was so inconsolable because of the loss, I forgot to enjoy the fact we played halftime.
Right. And with the halftime stuff, is it lip-synced? Do they pre-record some of the music? Because it seems like chaos.
No, it's chaos, but, you know, I don't even know what they did in the studio, but, you know, Max has a click, so we're all in time, but we all played live at the time.
All right.
What the hell went to the air, I don't know. Certainly Bruce was singing live, and I was playing live, and, you know, we did it like, you do it over 4 days so many times, and there's like a million people talking about this and that. But I know I was playing live, and certainly Bruce was singing live.
Because you got to rehearse that because it was kind of a medley, right?
Well, almost. It's a medley, and also, you know, time and money, and every 10 seconds is worth $1 billion in commercials. So they're all like, and it was quite extraordinary to like run out the way they set up an entire stage in like 6 minutes or 4 minutes, and you know, then you got to go on cue, and you know, it's a billion people watching or whatever. But I was just wrapped up in the game and the fact that the Cardinals had a shot, and it was such a heartbreaking thing. But anyway, I think with Carson Palmer back and healthy, I'm glad Larry stuck around. I think he thinks we got a good shot at a run, and I believe him.
Cool.
There you go. Nils Lofgren joins us, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. You've got a 10 CD box set. I want to play another track from you, and you picked one off of disc number, and I'm looking at this and going, disc number 8, because there's a huge story that's attached to it, and it's actually a story that's as relevant because we've been talking about Keith Richards for the past couple of weeks, because he's been sort of outspoken about bands he can't stand. And then Rolling Stone reprinted an interview from 1969 where he badmouths the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and a whole bunch of other bands where he's just... So tell us about the song Keith Don't Go.
Well, I was on... In 1973, we did this Tonight's the Night album with Neil Young. Very dark, live in the studio record. It's kind of an anti-production record. We took it on the road to England and they hadn't heard it yet. It was very controversial because Neil was trying to turn them onto this kind of wake record for our friends that died, and very raw, rough songs and very powerful and emotional. But they wanted to hear Cinnamon Girl and Down by the River, and Neil was playing the entire album front to back. So it was a very controversial thing. People were yelling in the audience and this and that. But of course, all the musicians flocked to the show, and I'd meet, you know, all these great musicians, and it seemed like everyone was talking about Keith Richards' health. And I was young and naive and thought, well, if he just made Exile on Main Street, how unhealthy can you be? But I had a dark piece of music, and I decided to write this thank you note with some ominous overtones, kind of thanking Keith for the music and asking him to stick around. It was called Keith Don't Go. It appeared on my first solo album in 75, but in 73, it was kind of a lost B-side that never got released. Grin did a version, and Neil Young was passing through town, and David Briggs, our producer, got Neil down to play piano session, which he rarely plays piano as a session player, and did some brilliant singing on this version. That's one of the outtakes on the box set.
So here you go. The box set is actually called Face the Music. It's in stores right now, or can you get it at nilsloftgren.com?
You can get it at nilsloftgren.com with a special pin from my wife of the cover or at Amazon.
There you go. 10 CD box set covering 45 years worth of Nils Lofgren's history. The best of, he says, it's not all of it, but it's some pretty good stuff.